Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, February 21st, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. An American think tank says the West has abandoned MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai.
It's true that people have abandoned Morgan Tsvangirai. It's very sad, but it is very true.
Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe turned 91 today, making him one of the oldest presidents in the world. And the Zimbabwe Human Rights Association has launched a community awareness program designed to highlight local people's rights.
The program that we are undertaking these days is targeting socio-economic and cultural rights.
An American think tank says the West has abandoned MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai following a dismal performance in the unity government and the 2013 national elections. In an interview, senior policy analyst Marion Tupi of the Washington-based Cato Institute for Global Liberty and Prosperity says Tsvangirai has failed to dislodge President Mugabe's party from power. Tapi speaks with Studio 7's Nyimiyake Makelele about this and Tsvangirai's political strengths and shortcomings.
There was an expectation that after 4 or 5 years of power sharing, the MDC would be rewarded for good government and for the improvements that Zimbabwe has accomplished under the MDC with the democratic change. And then two things happened. One was that the MDC ministers and Tsvangirai himself turned out to be much less impressive than people hoped. Certainly Tsvangirai's personal life and failings. And then secondly, it turned out that Mugabe and ZANU-PF still enjoy quite a bit of support within the Zimbabwean electorate. I think that to a lot of people, it is incomprehensible that so many people should still support Robert Mugabe and ZANU-PF. But since they do, I think a lot of people simply decided that, you know, the Zimbabwean people had the government they deserve.
Now, you say that the MDC going into the coalition government was a mistake. Can you elaborate on that?
If the goal was to remove a very corrupt and oppressive government from office, we are talking about Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF, if that was the goal, then the closest Zimbabwe came to kicking out Mugabe and ZANU-PF was in 2008, after the elections, when actually it is rumored that Mugabe himself was considering resignation. Everybody assumed that the power-sharing agreement would strengthen the MDC and weaken ZANU-PF. The opposite happened. As I said, MDC was outmaneuvered, Mugabe won the election, and he has, at least insofar as part of the international community goes, he has regained some of the legitimacy that he has lost in the first decade of the 2000s.
The Cato Institute had been very accommodating of the MDC, including Mr. Tsvangirai, whom you hosted during his term as prime minister. Now that he doesn't seem to be a relevant figure anymore, at least for the U.S., some would say, well, what about all the points that were raised in defense of the people and how ZANU-PF was restricting their life?
I don't think there was any sort of nefarious motive for getting involved with Zimbabwe. Nobody was after the Zimbabwean diamonds or natural resources, which can be bought in open market if need be. You don't need to invade a country in order to partake in its natural wealth. The Chinese indeed are realizing in Zimbabwe. They are just buying things up at fire sale prices. So, no, I don't think that America has intervened in Zimbabwe to the extent that it did for some sort of national gain. I think it was a concern over the true plight of the Zimbabwean people. That concern remains. But what to do about Zimbabwe is much more difficult because the internal politics of Zimbabwe, it is impossible to see where the change is going to come from.
Mm-hmm. There's some who say the Western world have abandoned Mr. Tsvangirai, on whom they pinned so much hope for democratic change in the country. Now, as Cato, how do you respond?
Well, I think it's true that people have abandoned Morgan Tsvangirai. It's very sad, but it is very true. It's like putting your money on a horse in a race, hoping that he wins. And then if he fails, you may do it a couple of more times, but ultimately you decide that that person was not, you know, worth the investment. And I think that a lot of people have looked at the way that Morgan Tsvangirai was regrettably outmaneuvered by Mugabe and decided that perhaps he was not going to bring about economic prosperity and political freedom, not because he doesn't want to. I think that his heart is in the right place. I think he's a good man. But because he simply didn't have the ability to prevail.
You mentioned earlier his personal life. Did that really have an influence?
I don't think that was the issue. It wasn't a question of his behavior. It was more a question of judgment, that people were expecting him to be working 24/7 on the problems of Zimbabwe and building up the MDC and outflanking Mugabe, not on really a burlesque type of lifestyle that he has led.
That was senior policy analyst Marian Tapi of the Washington-based Cato Institute for Global Liberty and Prosperity. Tsvangirai's spokesman Luke Tambolinyoga and MDCT spokesman Robert Kutu were not responding to calls.
Mamashupi, Studio 7, your station, my station, our station, boom.
Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe turned 91 today, making him one of the oldest presidents in the world. National festivities to mark his birthday, known as the 21st February Movement, are set to take place in Victoria Falls next week. Thousands of Zimbabweans in many countries are today expected to stage peaceful protests demanding that Mr. Mugabe should step down. Mr. Mugabe became Zimbabwe's first democratically elected black leader in 1980 and has over the years been accused of running down the nation's economy due to poor management, policy inconsistencies, and other factors. The Zimbabwe Human Rights Association has launched a community awareness program designed to highlight constitutional provisions supporting their rights. ZimRights Director Oke Machisa speaks about the socio-economic barometer workshops launched in some parts of the country.
The program that we are undertaking these days is targeting socio-economic and cultural rights. And we are trying to ensure that where it is possible, we have engaged our citizens and they have participated in finding out how these socio-economic and cultural rights are being delivered by the government. So it is important for the people of Zimbabwe to understand that they have got, for the first time, socio-economic and cultural rights that are embedded in our constitution. If we go into the Bill of Rights, it is very clear, it stipulates that our citizens should benefit from that sector. So it is indeed the program that we are doing to ensure that the people of Zimbabwe have understood that they have to enjoy these benefits, and also they have to find out how the service delivery is undertaken to fulfill even the mandates that have been prescribed, even in the economic blueprint, which is the ZIMASET, which the government is talking about.
Who is the target audience here?
Every citizen has got the right to benefit from the rights that are enshrined in the Constitution. So number one, we are saying the people of Zimbabwe should benefit from the rights that the Constitution is prescribing. Number two, those who are supposed to be delivering these services, the government, government departments, the councils, ZINWA, ZESA, EMA, etc., these are stakeholders that are very important to ensure that they have delivered. Where they have not delivered, we are therefore going to be monitoring and indicating that Chegutu, for example, water has been received by the citizens maybe once per month. And what does that mean when the Constitution says these are fundamental basic human rights that we should be enjoying? So where water has not been delivered, we have to hold the council to account and also make sure that the government has provided the services that it is supposed to provide to its own people.
Knowing that you don't have any legal instruments that actually support you to force the government or any other person to provide these services, how do you think you are going to proceed?
This is not a talk. It is something that is prescribed in the new constitution. We are fighting day in, day out to ensure that the realignment of laws according to the constitution has been done. And let's not fold our hands and say because there is no law that has been aligned to what we are talking about, and therefore we are not going to be doing anything.
That was ZimRise Director Oke Machisa speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Zimbabwe is this year expected to record low tobacco sales compared to last year due to heavy rains that hit the country. Tobacco and Marketing Board Chief Executive Andrew Matibiri tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, despite the low crop harvest, the country is set to get significant income from tobacco sales.
From the reports that we're getting and from the tobacco that we're seeing, we believe that the quality will be just as good as that was produced last year. And we know that the irrigated crop is very good quality. The rain-fed or dryland crop is full growing, but from what we're seeing, we think it will produce very good quality tobacco if the current conditions continue to prevail.
How about the quantity of the tobacco? How does it compare with the previous season?
Yeah, obviously, because the rainy season started a bit late this season, and also because the long dry spell was followed by several days of incessant rainfall, again followed by another drought in January, we believe that the yields will be down this year compared to last year.
That was Tobacco and Marketing Board Chief Executive Andrew Matibili speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Now is time for the Women's Forum.
Good evening, Zimbabwe. My name is Sandra Nyaira, standing in for Mavila Simplanga Nyawuye on the Women's Forum. I am continuing the discussion that I had with Cynthia Samuel Olunjuon, who's the chief of the Regional Program Unit for Africa with the International Labour Organization in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. I asked Cynthia about the environment that women are working in, if it has changed at all in the past 20 or so years.
The environment now is much better than it was 20 years ago or 25 years ago when some of us started. But we're still not where we need to be. But as an individual, our own first responsibility is to make sure that we're doing the quality of work that cannot be challenged.
It's 20 years now since Beijing, and now this year the African Union is saying that they are declaring 2015 the year of the woman. What still needs to be done? Why are we still lagging behind as women?
I think there are still stereotypes. And these stereotypes come from the girl child. Remember when I started telling my story, I talked about the fact that I got an education. And I got an education that was without limits because I had parents who believed in the intrinsic value of educating a child, whether a boy or a girl. So we still have those issues to contend with. There are families that believe that an investment in a girl child is not likely to give you good dividends. And this is anchored on the fact that this girl child would leave the family and take on another person's name. So we need to address those. It starts before the workplace. These are the issues around skills, around education. Then we also need to have good role models, especially in fields that are not traditionally female. Some are, should I say, blessed that they identify where they want to go, irrespective of whether there are role models. But a lot of people need to know that it is possible for a woman to be there. And that's why it's important for us to tell our stories. When we tell our stories and we see what people have been able to do, it encourages the young person to begin to have a vision, to begin to look beyond the obvious. How many female pilots do we have in Africa? How many female aeronautic engineers do we have in Africa? You know, those are things that we need to bring out in the open so that they see it's not just nursing. It's not just medicine and focusing on pediatrics. We have female neurosurgeons. Let's begin to tell our stories so as to encourage. So beyond the families, beyond the vision and the vista of the children, there's also having workplaces that are friendly to promoting women at all levels. Sometimes they may not directly discriminate, but the environment is not enabling. Then there's also mentoring. And I think that's one thing that we as women who have been able to break certain barriers, who have been able to make some level of progress, we have to be there to support younger women. I mean, you're in the media, for example, and those of us in the UN, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to help, to create fora, to create opportunities. What I do personally is I provide space for young people, particularly young women in Africa, to have internships, because that's an opportunity to get your toe in. And my recommendation to the AU would be addressing all the issues at the different levels, working with effective partners, but making sure that we create these structures for more strategic mentoring of young people. They don't need to go through some of the hardships that we went through.
That was Cynthia Samuel Olunjuan. She's the chief of the Regional Program Unit for Africa with the International Labour Organization in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Remember to tune in next week. Signing off is Sandra Nyaira. Good night, Zimbabwe.
Thanks, Sandra. We hope you're going to have a lovely weekend. And finally, multi-Grammy-nominated British musician James Blunt this week gave Zimbabweans a musical treat. The credit goes to Davis Events, which arranged for Blunt to squeeze in a one-day performance in Zimbabwe while on a stop in South Africa as part of his moon landing tour. Studio 7's Nyemiake Makelele speaks to Dave Davis of Davis Events about Blunt's performance, which included his signature tune, You Are Beautiful.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel.
Amazing, amazing. I mean, the artist himself and his band put on a show like no other. It was brilliant, brilliant.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. It's true.
So tell us, how did you manage to get James Blunt?
We heard about his world tour and his stop in South Africa. We approached him and put forward a proposal for him to add Zimbabwe as a one-stop leg on the tour. And we were fortunate enough for him to agree and take the chance to come to Harare and play for the people. You know, he said it's one of the most beautiful places he's been.
And you said you also promote local artists. Was it a local artist who opened the show for James Blunt?
Two local artists, in fact. Robbie Bell from the band Band Friday. And then Cerito Negatari. She came and joined Robbie on stage, and they did a couple of duets. Both are very, you know, well-respected local artists and very different musically, if you like. Rob is currently campaigning to try and get on stage at Glastonbury. So hopefully this we might see a Zimbabwean performing at Glastonbury 2015.
Girl, I'm in love with you. This ain't the honeymoon. Past the infatuation phase. Right in the thick of love. At times we get sick of love. It seems like we argue every day.
And then, of course, everyone wants to know what happened to John Legend. He was supposed to have come also and apparently cancelled at the last minute. You guys organized that trip. What can you offer in terms of an explanation?
You know, that was just unfortunate. There were some logistical challenges that we couldn't get around with regarding equipment, etc.
We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go.
But hopefully we'll make up for that with another similar artist in the near future. But you'll have to watch this space and see what happens there.
That was Dave Davis of Davis Events speaking with Studio 7.
My life is brilliant. My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel, of that I'm sure. She smiled at me on the subway. She was with another man. But I won't lose no sleep on that, 'cause I've got a plan. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. It's true.
I saw your face in a crowded place.
Now to recap today's top stories. An American think tank says the West has almost abandoned MTC founding president Moken Tsvangirai. And Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe turned 91 today, making him one of the oldest presidents in the world. That's our broadcast.